This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to be joined by one of the leading orthopedic surgeons in the world, Dr. Michael Redler. We're going to talk to Michael about some of the mission work he's done, some of the opioid sparing strategy he works on, some of the trends in orthopedics. Just a wonderful person. Michael, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Well, Scott, thank you very much for that very warm introduction. You're very kind. Scott, I'm an orthopedic surgeon specializing in sports medicine, upper extremity surgery. I practice in Southern Connecticut and Fairfield and Trumbull, Connecticut. I am in a private practice group, the Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Center, but we're a division of Connecticut Orthopedic Specialists. I fortunately get the opportunity to teach as a visiting assistant clinical professor at University of Virginia and also at the Frank Netter School of Medicine at Quinnipiac University.
Thank you. Take a moment, 30, 60 seconds, a little bit on some of the orthopedic mission work you've done. What's that like? And just tell us what that's like.
Scott, I've been in practice now for 30 years, though I'll let you know right now I'm still ramping up. And one of my true passions has become medical mission work. I've been very, very fortunate to work with an outstanding organization, One World Surgery, that does medical missions down to Honduras. And so Honduras, as we know, is a dangerous country. It's a very poor country. And as such, their healthcare system is in great need of improvement. The people down there are wonderful people. They just want to work hard. They want to support their family, but they have some tremendous medical problems, surgical problems that go untreated or treated badly. In conjunction with SCA as a founding partner of One World Surgery, we do medical missions down there. We work at a small surgical center called Holy Family Surgical Center. We go down, we do missions where we take care of just the poor people around the country. Some people, Scott, are coming 8 and 10 hours away to be seen, and we change their lives. And if they can actually get better through surgery, get back to work, support their family, they can pay it forward. The other thing that's amazing is this surgical center in Honduras, One World Surgery, sits on the grounds of a 2,000 acreage ranch that houses a 400-child orphanage. So it speaks to my heart in so many ways, and I think it's one of the best things that I currently do.
How often have you been there? Have you gone a couple times now?
Yes, I've been down there 5 times. And I actually, February 22nd, that week, I'm going to be going down again. And Scott, I really hope that you'll join me. At this point now, I hope that you're there. You're going to be, you know, right in front lines, take care of patients. And, you know, in addition to surgery, we also get to interact. My wife and I have a young girl on the ranch that we sponsor as our goddaughter. And so we get to see her every time when we're there as well.
That is fantastic. And when you go and come to Honduras, do you feel safe going? Does it feel safe? Are you scared for your own safety? You're not really.
So I have felt safe every time that we go down there. But, you know, we fly in at Tegucigalpa, which is the capital of Honduras. We go by bus up into the mountains, spend an hour outside of Tegucigalpa. It's a completely enclosed compound. You really never leave while you're there. And it's a good thing because we're working hard. We're taking care of patients. Other general volunteers are doing work on the ranch to help improve the lives of the children there. There's security there. There is a sense of family there. And I've never felt unsafe. And frankly, what I do feel, however, is incredibly fulfilled.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your thoughts on it. It's a fascinating effort that you've made, and what you're doing is magnificent. Let's switch topics for a moment. The change in prescriptions of opioids, a couple thoughts on that, on what's going on, what's the evolution been, and opioid sparing strategies. A couple thoughts on that, Dr. Redler.
Scott, I told you that Honduras is one of my passions. Opioid sparing strategies for surgery and for ambulatory surgical centers is another one of my passions. Look, we know these days what a huge problem the opioid crisis is. You can't turn on the TV, listen to the radio, and hear about it. We know that, you know, there were 64,000 overdose deaths in 2016, and that number has just gone up tremendously. You know, I had the privilege of leading a panel at your last meeting, Scott, with Scott Sigmund, who's a another leading orthopedic surgeon and opioid sparing strategy, and Ronit Lev, who is the chief medical officer in the office of the president in terms of looking at this drug addiction problem. What I asked at the beginning of the panel is everybody in the audience, if anybody in the audience either has had a family member or somebody from their community or knows someone who's died of an overdose, raise your hand. And Scott, the number of hands that went up was close to 80%. So this affects everybody. Every day in the United States, there are 115 deaths related to opioid use. And where does that involve us? Well, there are studies that suggest that 4 out of 5 heroin users abuse prescription opioid first. And so that's where we come in. And wow, we have to rethink how we prescribe medication. And the good news these days is with a multimodal approach, with use of long-acting regional anesthetics, we can do some of these major surgeries at the ambulatory surgical centers with minimal to no use of opioids. And we've got to really reset the bar and make that the norm and reset the thinking in that regard.
That's fantastic. And what kind of progress have you seen? I know you've been a champion of this. You're literally an incredible professional. Not only are you a professional at what you do and have a great business practice, great business mind, you do some of these other good things for people and humanity. What's some of the progress you've seen on the opioid side?
You know, it's interesting. A couple of years ago, we were at a meeting when we started to talk about this. It was a group of orthopedic surgeons. And Dr. Lev will tell us that they're one of the highest abusers in terms of prescriptions because their patients can have pain after surgery. If you do a knee arthroscopy, how many prescription narcotics do you write for, whether it's a Vicodin or a Percocet? And you know what the average number was? 30. So reality is you may need none at all. You may need a couple at both. And so what we've gone for now is to retrain the thinking. What does the thinking mean? Well, using a long-acting local anesthetic, using a multimodal approach in terms of discomfort, discussing it with the patient ahead of time. So look, if I have a patient who's, we'll even go further, has an ACL reconstruction, what we do is use a long-acting local anesthetic, which is now available, and we have to get the insurance companies to pay for it. Tell them they're going to take 2x-strength Tylenol 3 times a day, by the clock, not by discomfort. We'll have them use an anti-inflammatory medication each day to help decrease inflammation and discomfort. And if you use any pain pills, they're for breakthrough pain only. I have the discussion with them ahead of time. We let them know that, look, the good news is this works really well, and we're going to minimize or eliminate the use for opioid use. So we're allowing them to be involved in that discussion. And we're getting more and more surgeons now on board with this. We are now getting the insurance company starting to pay for this long-acting local anesthetic. And we are getting the surgical centers to start rethinking how we address pain. You know, we got told years ago pain was like the fifth vital sign. And we were told that if we weren't treating pain, we weren't taking care of our patients. The reality is we know these were pushed forward by some of the narcotic drug manufacturers. And then when it got to the point where opioids overtook automobile accidents as a top cause of accidental death in the country, we knew we had to go a different way. You know, one of the things we talked about in our keynote panel is a little simple thought. Don't talk about pain. Instead of using a pain scale, because that's what every patient who comes into a surgical center is asked, instead of a pain scale, let's talk about a comfort scale. How comfortable are you instead? And so the goal is to get to that level of comfort as opposed to pain. It's a whole different level of thinking. So we're getting the patients to think differently. We're getting the ambulatory surgical centers to think differently. And we're getting the physicians and the surgeons to think differently in terms of how we address this problem.
Thank you, Dr. Red. We've talked so far about both medical missions, about how you approach pain and opioid sparing strategies. Another issue, I've known you now for probably 10 to 15 years or longer, and I'm always amazed at the level of energy and the level of always trying to do the right thing. How do you keep yourself motivated over the long run? How have you managed to do that? How do you keep, you know, so many physicians face burnout, so many have different challenges. You know, obviously we all work through different challenges, but you seem to keep yourself pretty centered, pretty motivated. How do you manage to do that over the long run?
You know, look, I think that when I went into medicine, when I went to orthopedic surgery, is because I really wanted to be able to help people, take care of people, improve their lives. And I get great energy and great satisfaction. I see a patient who's had tremendous pain or a tremendous surgical problem we've been able to correct. There's nothing that makes me prouder There's nothing that gives me goosebumps when I think of someone who's been able to return to their life, and that recharges my engine, and that's what motivates me. And, you know, the good news is, after all these years, I still like what I do just about every single day. But the other thing is after these years of practice and surgery, it afforded me the opportunity to give back. How can we give back? We can give back by helping third world country patients who don't have the access to good medical care. We can help to shape the thinking of physicians moving forward in terms of how they prescribe narcotics. We can help patients to understand how they can avoid narcotics and those kind of things. Those victories just charge the engine. And, you know, taking care of patients in this country charges the engines. Taking care of patients down in Honduras fills my heart.
It's just fantastic. And Dr. Redder, one more question. You know, and if this year goes well for you personally, professionally, what does that look like? What are the things that have to happen for it to be considered a good year for you?
So a good year is taking good care of patients, having patients be happy, being able to change their lives, being able to not have so many battles with insurance companies, being able to do the right thing. You know, for instance, we talk about the opioid sparing strategies. You know, there's a long-acting local anesthetic that can help sometimes eliminate the need for narcotics. And yet a lot of the hospitals, because there's some cost involved, won't stock it. A lot of the surgical centers can't use it because the insurance companies won't stock it and pay for it. And as such, we've got battles to improve the quality of life and minimize that addiction. And so a good year for me would be taking care of lots of patients, being able to do so with minimal use of narcotics, and then being able to give it back to third world patients and spending time with my family and trying to break 90 a little bit more often playing golf. And I'm a happy guy.
It's fantastic. It's all different overlapping goals in different ways for all of us, it sounds like. Well, just fantastic. Dr. Redder, just a great pleasure to talk to you. I'm going to actually ask somebody to follow up with you almost immediately about the medical mission work you do and some of the questions they have. It just is remarkable what you've done professionally, personally, in your career. We just appreciate you spending time talking at our meetings and visiting with people. And obviously today on the phone and the podcast as well. Thank you so much, Dr. Redder.
Well, Scott, it's a pleasure. And I got to tell you, I admire what you do for healthcare and for ambulatory surgical centers and for healthcare in general. And I watch from afar you build up the healthcare empire that is just astounding. And your energy and enthusiasm for it is inspirational. So right back at you.
Thank you so much.